Wow. I have to do my own water. Here, I'm ready. How you guys doing? Good. Well, I'm one of the campus pastors at New Philly Shilim, and I'm going to be, woo-woo, Shilim, and everyone else. No. This is everyone gathered together. I'm not trying to exclude Shilim, but thank you for coming out tonight. I'm going to share a short teaching, and I'm actually going to lead us into doing activity together. So let me go. What does that mean? You want me to teach longer? I'm just kidding. Well, let me go right into the word because I don't have much time. Today, I want to talk about ministry of presence. Ministry of presence. Let that sink in. Ministry of presence. You know, as I was praying about what to share tonight, I just kept hearing the Lord say, ministry of presence. And I was like, what about it, Lord? What does it mean to have ministry of presence? And God also reminded me of our new vision statement for our church, which is to raise up an army of mighty warriors from the valley of dry bones, right? And I know when we share this new vision, many people are excited about it. And you know, people were sharing that we've been praying for this. You know, we've been wanting to start to focus not just on our church, but outside of the church, outside of these four walls. That's what we've been yearning for. And so I know that there's such momentum and excitement to just go out there and reach the dry bones. And I felt like God was highlighting to me, though, that he wanted us to get the ministry of presence down in order for us to reach the unchurched and to reach the dry bones. What I mean by that is ministry of presence is pretty simple. It means to be fully present, right? But how simple does that sound, but how hard is it to do at times, right? And something that struck me is, first, we need to know how to be fully present before the Lord in order for us to go out into those dry bones and to be fully present with the people out there. You know, it's about being fully present in each other's lives, doing life together, you know, and demonstrating God in their lives by being there. Not just talking about Jesus and preaching about Jesus, but being Jesus in their lives. You know, putting people over other priorities because God cares about the people the most, right? He doesn't care about your phones. He doesn't care about your jobs, your accomplishments, your work. You know what? In the end, at the end of the day, what he cares the most about is his people. Because these are the people that he made in his own image. And these are the people that he sent his only son to trade for. Because he loves and cares for them so much. You know, being fully present also means stop talking and preaching about what it means to be Christian. But being the Christ-like Christian in people's lives. You know what non-Christians are tired of? They're tired of Christians talking about God but not living it out. They're tired of talking, you know, Christians that are talking about love of God without showing what that really means. God loves you, but what about me? Can you show me what that means? Because when they haven't seen what love is, it doesn't matter how much you tell them God loves them. They need to see a demonstration of what that love means. You know, there are plenty of Christians on the street that share the gospel, but without the power of the gospel. You know, you see them all the time in Myeongdong or on the subway. You see those ajashis walking around the subway like, 예수님 사랑하십니다, you know. If you don't believe in Jesus, you will go to hell. And I have to actually pray and think about that. God, what he's doing, is that really love? And I felt like I was saying, I mean, we can judge their motives, but it's because they're not being fully present in people's lives. They're not demonstrating what Jesus is like. For them to share about Jesus, it's just being noisy gong because they're not being present with them and showing them what that love is. You know, 1 Corinthians 13:1, it says, we're noisy gongs if we don't have love first. That's what it means to be fully present. Being fully present, it means to be Jesus. It means to be Jesus in people's lives, not just talk about it. You know, being fully present, say, in my relationship with my husband, that means I care about him genuinely. I really care about him. I am investing my time and my emotion into seeing him and hearing him and to know him, right? Say your coworker found out that, you know, her mom has cancer. It's easy for us to say, oh, I'll pray for you. Jesus is in control. God is in control. This is, you know, it's going to be turned out for your good. Anything like that. Words are easy to give. But you know what? Maybe it's time for us to be fully present in that person's life. Maybe giving the mother a visit. Maybe just going through the emotions that the coworker might be feeling because of the hardship of seeing her mother go through a treatment. Just taking her out to a dinner or taking her out to a movie. Being fully present and doing life with her. That's what it means to have ministry of presence. Not just ministry of talking or preaching or prophesying, but ministry of presence. You know, sometimes when you go through stuff, all you want or all you need is for someone to be with you. And I think that's what God is just prompting on my heart to share tonight. Ministry of presence. We got to be people who are slow with words and quick with action. And you know what it means? To be fully present, what we got to do is to put away our distractions. This is a Vietnamese monk whose name I cannot pronounce said this. It's like Thich Nhat Hanh or something like that. But he's a pretty famous Vietnamese monk. He said, when you love someone, the best thing you can offer is your presence. How can you love if you're not there? Right? Our generation is a generation who doesn't know how to be still or fully present. I'm just going to admit it as a part of this generation that's so distracted, so busy, so restless, right? But we have to recognize that this is something that we have to fight against, and this is not something that we can take lightly. You know, we laugh about it. You know, people are looking at their phones so much that they don't even know how to be fully present when they're walking, apparently. Because you've seen those signs on the you know, pavements and on the, I guess, signals of saying, like, you know, be aware of your cell phone use. Have you seen those? Maybe y'all are all looking at your phones. You guys haven't seen it. But they're putting up stickers everywhere because people are getting into accidents while they're walking on the street because their face is planted into their screen. You know, if we are not able to be aware of our surroundings, even when we're walking because we're so focused on our screens, how are we going to be fully present with those that are around us? You know, I'm preaching to myself as well. But, you know, when I was preparing for this, I just felt like this is a spiritual battle. Like, I don't want to say that lightly. I don't want to say something is a spiritual battle just because it's hard on us or whatever. But I felt like as I was preparing for this, God kept mentioning and emphasizing to me how we need to fight against this distraction and also to be consecrated from this. One of the signs of the screens and all these media and technology being a spiritual battle rather than just an issue of, oh, maybe I'm using too much phone or I'm just looking at my screen too much, is when you look at our kids' generation. When you look at our younger generation, it says that recent brain imaging research shows that the screens affect the brain's frontal cortex, which controls executive functioning, including impulse control, in exactly the same way that cocaine does. You know, neuroscientists are calling this electronic cocaine or digital heroin of this generation. And this is why you see these kids acting in strange behaviors. When the screen's taken away, they act out and burst out in anger and act in unusual ways that they would normally not do. I mean, except, yeah, you talk about the terrible twos, but still, you don't want to see, you know, there's got to be like some sort of self-control there, right? But I want to mention that this is part of Satan's agenda as the end time comes. Satan wants to distract you from what God is doing in life and also bring division between children and parents by distracting them with this digital heroin. You know, it says in 2 Timothy 3:2 that people will be disobedient to their parents. And it's listed under one of the terrible things that are going to happen in the end times. And Timothy says to have nothing to do with them. Isn't this kind of harsh? I mean, I'm a little disobedient to my parents. I mean, you don't want to do anything to do with me. But God is clear in saying that in the end times, signs of end times isn't going to be mass murdering. It's not going to be, you know, some riots. It's actually when people are turning away from the presence of God and they're putting all their focus and energy and things and their center of their life according to the screen and things that distract us, the media, things that just have us be on cruise control mode and not be aware of God's presence at all or people around us. So Pastor Jam called a media fest last Friday fire. I don't know how many of you guys were able to participate in it. I'm curious, but I won't ask. Who did it? I'm kidding. And, you know, I've done many media fasts, and I've done it for this this tonight as well. And you know it's addiction when your finger constantly goes to the apps that you removed away from your screens. It's like, oh, no, I'm trying to check email, but it's pressing on where Facebook used to be or Instagram used to be, right? Or if your mind is constantly going through the drama that you're fasting from, 구름이 그린 달빛, I don't know if anyone is watching that. But, you know, like 박보검 just showing up in my dream, that's flesh. That's like addiction. You know, that's addiction, right? This is a stronghold. not Bakbogam, but media is a stronghold. You know this when you see a pattern of withdrawal symptoms as if you're withdrawing from drug. You know, God killed all my electronics recently. I don't know if you guys know, but August 15 was our 15th anniversary, and my phone just died. It just stopped working, didn't turn on. It's like, okay, well, I'll just be free from media then for 2 weeks. I didn't have the phone working for 2 weeks. And I was fine with it, but, you know, I was risking some of my friendships. So I was like, okay, I guess it's time for me to go and get a phone. So I, you know, one of my close friends gave me a phone, so I got to get connected. And then her phone's iPhone 5, I was really grateful for it. But then when the battery goes below 40, sometimes it just dies on you without any warning. So I'm like, I have limited amount of usage that I can do during the day because God just decided to make it that way. And guess what? My laptop, the music stopped playing. My laptop that I've been using fine for 5 years, the audio sound stopped working. And my battery cord also stopped working. So I'm like, God, what are you trying to do? Like, what are you trying to say right now? And, you know, it's all fun and jokes, but then in the end of it, I felt like God kept just highlighting, you know what? This is not a light matter. This is a serious matter. You guys need to consecrate yourselves away from this distraction and the agenda of of the enemy to try to keep us out of God's presence, out of people's presence. So I want to encourage us to really get into the habit of consecrating ourselves regularly. You know, I don't think we could ever be like completely free from technology. It's not going to happen unless you go into a cave and start living like Amish people, you know? But if you make it a point, if you make it a priority in your life to keep consecrated in this area, we can be set apart in this area. We don't have to be mastered by technology. We don't have to be mastered by screens. And as a result, not being fully present in people's lives when we need to, because we're so busy looking at other people's lives on the phone. So, you know, my suggestion is like one day of the week, maybe on Mondays, I will not look at phone. And that's going to be my day where I'll be fully present before God and fully present before other people. I mean, please don't be not present during the rest of the day, but, you know, but when we fast, that's when we seek for God's greater presence and, you know, his just greater intimacy with the Lord, right? Or certain hours of the day, maybe in the morning time, I will not look at Facebook or media, you know, but I will learn to be just fully present before God. Or maybe extended period of time once a month, maybe like a week out of the month, I will just go media free, you know. And see what happens out of it. See what God cleanses you out of it. God cleansed so much out of me when I was doing media fast. All the junk and all the just habitual, like, time-wasting and And biggest thing is that we're missing what God is doing in our lives when we're so caught up in everything else but God. So how do you become fully present? Man, it's just such a short time. But being fully present, first step is to stop everything. Sounds easy, right? But it's not that easy. It's just stop everything. Literally, just gone, just stop. Stop right there. Just stop everything. Like, it's like saying, like, you know, there's, even if you're not doing anything with your body, that doesn't mean you're not doing anything over here, right? True rest is not about what you're doing, but it's about how you're feeling. And so if you want to stop everything, this is, some of us, it means to put away everything that's distracting us, like phones, screens, put that away, literally put it away. You know, I grew up with a stepfather who always watched TV when I'm trying to talk to him, make conversation, like, Appa, how was your day? He just fixated on TV. You know what that communicated to me? It was almost as if he was telling me, this TV, what I'm watching is more important to me than who you know, what you're trying to do right now. But let's not be that for people around us and for God. Let's not do that with God when we're trying to be with God, being fixated on a phone or being fixated on something else. But put away everything that is distracting you from being fully present. Put it away. And some of us have to take authority over a striving spirit that keeps you moving nonstop. You know, when I was trying to prepare for this message, it's like a confession time. That's what happens a lot of times when a preacher's trying to preach. It's confessing time. But when I was trying to prepare for today, I was in front of the computer trying to get things out, be creative, you know, anointing, flow, like juice, creative juice. Hey, you know, like trying to get things out. You know what God told me? He said, drop everything, walk outside, go on a walk. I was like, no, God, I don't have time. I only have this many amount of hours, and I cannot afford a walk with you. Huh? Like, wait a second. That sounds really off, right? I'm trying to hear the Lord. I'm trying to get God's message in his heart, and I'm telling him, I don't have enough time to spend with you because I'm so busy striving, trying to get this message together. So I went for a walk. And did I get like bomb download of things when I was walking? No. God just calmed my soul. And he walked with me. He just was present with me. And then I had to go home and keep praying for this message. So stop everything. And two is to be aware. To be aware of the surroundings that you see through your senses. You know, like when you type in like being fully present into Google, a lot of like new age stuff comes out. It's like get grounded, and I'm like, this is useless. But it's like trying to like get to your core or whatever. But be aware of the surroundings through your senses. This is my way of doing it. It's taking time to notice the things around you through all your senses. God has put that tree in front of your house for a reason. God created the heavens for a reason, for your enjoyment, for the birds to sing, to praise his name. There's a reason why God created you and the surroundings around you. So take time to notice the air that you breathe, what you see, what you feel, what you smell. I mean, if you're trying to be fully present with the person in front of you, then try to notice the details of what this person's trying to say. Read the emotions. Try to connect. Be aware of the details. And thirdly, it's to listen. It's to listen. You know, if you're sitting with a person and you're trying to be fully present, it's to listen wholeheartedly. It's not just to hear the sound, but to listen for what that person's saying. Hey, I feel you. It's really hard for you during, you know, these days with your job, huh? I'm sorry about that. I feel you. I feel your pain. I've been there too. Being fully present.